Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks.
Now, the more astute of my listeners might realise that you're not actually from Lincoln, are you?
No. Pretty far distant from Lincoln, just 10 miles from outside Glasgow.
Wow. Is
where I come from, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay. So, you got involved with a previous guest of mine, Kev Hackney. How did that
Kev's
come about?
A good guy. Well, Kev and I are on one or two mutual singer-songwriter groups. So we'd kind of gotten to know each other from there and kind of mutually appreciated each other's work, to be honest.
Yeah.
To the extent that Kev does a number of collaborations with other songwriters and performers, but we've now done three songs together. So I think we really just hit it off and got on. He's a friendly guy, as you well know.
Yeah.
I think he's been into your studio as well. So yeah, got on really well with Kev.
Yeah, excellent. It's, I mean, obviously, I from an outsider's point of view, I don't write at all. I'd like to write songs,
okay.
But how did that all get started for you? When did you discover you could write songs?
Well, initially it started back as far back as when I was about 16 or 17. I taught myself the guitar. Way back then, at that age, I think I wrote one song, Joe, and that was it. And then life took over. And I kind of abandoned it, apart from picking up the guitar a little bit now and again. I abandoned the whole thing until COVID arrived in 2020.
COVID's got a lot to answer for.
It's got a lot to answer for. It's got a lot to answer for in terms of people having to suffer listening to me as well, Joe, so that's probably one of the big downsides of COVID.
I'm not sure I'd call that a downside, but still.
but I took it up because I'm self-employed. I'm a financial advisor. I'm a one-man band. My office is attached to the back of my house. So during COVID, the height of COVID, I was like a lot of people. You're kind of stranded in your office. You can't see anyone.
Yeah.
So all my client meetings were Zoom or Microsoft Teams, but video meetings. So I was spending more time. I wasn't traveling. And I decided to pick up the guitar. And I thought, if I'm lucky, I'll write. I'll maybe write another song and make that too. But I find myself getting into it more and more. And it's become more and more of a passion as the time's gone on. So to answer your question, took it back up in March 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here all that time later. I've probably now weirdly written around 500 songs.
Wow.
Since that period of time. Which I know sounds ridiculous, but it's true, because I was actually going through some of the lyrics the other day, and I was surprised to see just how many I had written.
Yeah,
and I've recorded most of those. I mean, you'll know yourself that I release on Facebook and YouTube. But even now, having a busy time at work, I could sit back or step back from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've still got about 55 songs that I've not released yet that have been recorded. So there's a lot there. So the public shouldn't really relax anytime soon.
Is that just in case they, you know, may recover from hearing you, or?
But sorry, what was that in case of?
No, if they're relaxing, are they going to miss you?
Well, well, that I don't know. I mean, it's a strange thing in terms of this singer-songwriter thing, is Kev and other my peers will probably echo. Sometimes you'll get really good feedback. Sometimes you don't get a lot of feedback. Sometimes I'll be having a conversation with someone and they'll refer to two or three songs. Well, I really loved those, and I didn't realise they loved them because there was no feedback had been left. But to be fair, and Kev will be the same, you don't really do it to get plaudits and feedback, although it's lovely to have it. It's just the fact you enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just hoping if you put stuff out there, some folk might like some of it and get some enjoyment out of it. But it's definitely become become a passion. And it's easy for me being in, you know, the office is now an office come recording studio, of course, so it's handy for me. But anyway, I'm talking on at length here.
That's okay. We're going to take a break now to hear your first song. Paul, that was fantastic. I am in awe. I am curious, though. What genre of music would you say you fit into?
That's a difficult one. I think it would have to be like folk and Americana. As I say, that those are the things that I tend to lean towards. I do like that style of music. Yeah. It's strange when I did take this back up again, just putting a little tidbit in there. Some friends of mine were a little bit surprised at the style of music that I wrote and played, because I was always a big Roxy Music fan.
Music from that at all.
No, it couldn't be further removed from that. No. But I always did like Jackson Browne, Bruce Springsteen, and all these guys. And Springsteen probably his darker side when he recorded the album Nebraska. So to answer your question, I would say I probably fit into folk, Americana, country. Those kind of styles probably suit best when I do.
I personally would have said that you were quite a blues. From this is listening from one of your other songs, not necessarily Wishville. Yep. But I'd have said you were more blues.
Ah, right. You know, it's funny I overlooked that, because blues rock I probably prefer to traditional rock. So you're right, there's definitely that influence in there. And I do enjoy singing that style of song. Mm-hmm. And you're right, I think I've written maybe 3 or 4 songs in that vein. And there is something enjoyable about it. They tend to be more bleak, I know that, but that's the nature of blues. But yeah, blues is a great genre.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would take that as a description.
Well, thank you. Fair. I'm not completely useless at my...
not in the least. That's my job.
Oh, no, I definitely not. I wouldn't say that. You mentioned before Americana, folk, and something else, yes. Country.
Yes.
Do you aim to be put into one of those boxes?
No. It's all just down to the feel of the song. I mean, the way I write songs, everybody's different, but it's always the lyrics I have first, Joe.
Okay.
And those lyrics can come to me. I use my phone as an alarm. Sometimes through the night, I'll think of a line and I'll jot it down on the phone. But ideas just come to me, and it's always the lyrics. And for me, what then happens is those lyrics and that story will dictate to me what style of melody I'll put to that. And it could then be country, traditional country. It could be Americana, or it might be blues influence. So the lyrics tend to dictate what I'll then do with the melody, if that makes sense. That's the way it works for me.
Okay. So when you've got a song in your head, you've written it down, what's the next stage? How do you go about fitting that to a tune, or fitting a tune to the lyrics?
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll come in and most often I'll have a melody in my head to those lyrics. I'll have something. Or a half-written melody in my head. So I'll come into the office, come recording studio, and I'll just play around with the guitar and get the chords that fit those notes. And it tends to, for me, and I think other writers are like that as well, it comes to me fairly quickly. I can put a song together fairly quickly. Whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. It's just the way it works for me. I mean, it wouldn't be unusual for me to write a song, the lyrics, come into the office and have the melody done. And either I video record it so people are seeing me singing it just with the acoustic guitar, or I'll fully produce it and release it as an audio track, as I've done with Wishville and one or two others that I'd sent along to you. But it wouldn't be unusual for that all to be done within about 40 minutes, including backing vocals and three or four different guitar tracks and the harmonica, which I love as well. It does. I think it's just an instinctive thing. I know when it feels right, and then I'll do it. But the other reason why it's a fairly quick process for me is that I'm very much into doing only one take. I don't deliberate with doing multiple takes on a song that I've done. Apart from anything else, Joe, I don't have the time because I still need to earn a living in my day job. But also, I think if you do multiple recordings and multiple takes, you lose something. I like that first take, and if there's a bum note in it, whether it's the guitar or whether it's the voice, I really don't care. I don't mean to be blasé about that, but I find people like that as well, because it's recorded in the moment, and I definitely prefer that.
Okay, we're going to hear your second track of yours now. Would you like to introduce this one?
This one is called Precious Years. This one is a guy, an older guy, looking back on his marriage and relationship, his family, they've had kids, and it's really about appreciating the fact that, yeah, they've had a lot of ups and downs along the way that his old relationships have, but they've stuck at it, and what's come out the other end, you can look back, reflect, and appreciate those years.
Paul, another great track. I noticed that Thanks. Time there was no harmonica, though.
yeah. I do sort of play around with that. I include it in some songs, I don't include it in others. Sometimes I prefer just the acoustic guitar, sometimes with the electric guitar added in as a second or third track. But regarding the harmonica, not everyone loves the harmonica, I've found, from experience, but I do. And again, what I would say is one name I didn't mention earlier and who my musical influences are is Bob Dylan. He's been a big influence on me. And, of course, right from day one, he had the acoustic guitar and the harmonica.
Yeah.
I just love the accompaniment of it. And to be honest with you, harmonica is something new for me. I bought a series of them the last year and taught myself last year how to play harmonica.
How did you teach yourself to play harmonica?
Well, I use the harmonica. I wouldn't be able to sit here and play a song all the way through a harmonica, every single note. What I use it as is an addition to the melody. The melodies that I write, there are certain notes I like to pick out, just to accentuate a line or a bit of emotion in a song. So how did I do it? I basically listened to the recordings and just sat with the harmonica, made sure obviously the right key for harmonica, and just started to play along with the songs to get a feel for what I wanted to include going forward. And that's kind of what I've done since then. So you're not necessarily going to hear any harmonica solos from me, but they're just adding some texture. I like the texture I can add to the songs, or some of the songs.
What do you feel it brings to a song?
I think it can bring, sometimes it could even tear at the heartstrings a little bit. There was a song, a country style song, that I'd written, and it's, I've forgotten the name of it, but Missouri is in it anyway, Not Long to Missouri or something like that, and that was just acoustic guitar, the voice, and quite a high pitch on the harmonica. And to answer your question, I think it can be haunting. It can be haunting. It can be a little bit bluesy as well, of course. But I like the fact that you can get both ends of that spectrum. So I think it just adds a little bit of oomph and emotion.
Yeah, emotion was the word I was fixing on there. It can accentuate a note, can't it? Or accentuate a sound and make it more than perhaps it was meant, if that makes sense.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. And I tend to produce it. I've got different ways of producing the sound that comes out when I do record it to get exactly that type of a feeling from it. So, yeah, I do love the harmonica.
Okay. Now, I know you've got a grandson. Is he one of your fans?
It's too soon to say. He definitely loves music. He's got that instinct in him. You know, sort of movement to dance and so on. I remember actually one of the funny sort of anecdotes where I had him in the car recently where we were listening to music. And we both started moving to the time of the music. And it reminded me of that scene in Wayne's World. Just that scene in the car. They're all jumping about.
Yeah.
That was what it felt like we were like that day. So it's too soon to tell because he's still under 2 years of age. But I would be hopeful one day he might look back and like some of the stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you play to him?
No. I don't really play to family or friends or anything like that, Joe. It's all in the... It's all in the office recorded or video recorded or live streams.
Yeah. Okay. So when did you start live streaming?
That would have been a year ago, I think, I started that. Which for me was a kind of a big step because it's just knowing people are out there at that moment listening.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I think it was about 6 months ago, Joe. That's not right, it wasn't a year ago. But I found I enjoyed it, and I did a second one since then. I'm scheduled to do a third. And there is, I like just sitting with a guitar, because my sort of persona is man with his guitar, and I always will come back to that. I can enjoy doing the production on certain songs, but I'll always come back really just wanting to sit with the guitar and sing, so that appeals. And what I've gotten around is the fear that you hit a bum note, because you think, well, what's the worst that can happen? You can hit a bum note. It happens to professionals.
Yeah.
No one's died. You just move on. It's just part of the performance, really. So I do enjoy that, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Okay. So you went straight for a wider audience. Does that make you an exhibitionist?
Does it? I'm not sure. There's any performer, whether they're amateur like me or a professional, is there some sort of need or desire to be liked in some way? There probably is some element of that, to be honest. But what I take from it is John Mellencamp's view, as he's become older, and it's just like he'll sing songs and do songs that he likes. He's not doing it for anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't write songs for anybody in particular. It's only what feels good. And his view is, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if some people get switched off with certain songs, then that's fine. At the end of the day, I'm not. Looking to make a major living from this. But to get back to your question, exhibitionists, I suppose all performers, in inverted commas, that there is some form of that. I guess there has to be.
Yeah, I'll
take much as
that.
I'd love to deny it. Much as I'd love to deny it, but I guess I have to admit that it's got to be in there.
Yeah, I think it's in all of us, if we're honest. If we're totally honest with ourselves, yes. But
I think the British mentality at times, Joe, is it's almost like admitting to something like that, it's almost like a bad word, you know, because we're the British reserve that we tend to have. I think sometimes you say, I do like to be heard.
Well, that's quite right too. If you've got something worth hearing, then it should be heard. Now, that brings me on to my next point. Where can people hear you?
They can find me, I'm on social media, both YouTube and Facebook, under the moniker of Man With His Guitar. Paul O'Brien. You'll find me both on Facebook and on YouTube. So those are the two sole outlets for where my songs can be found just now.
Now, would you say you've got quite a gravelly voice?
Yeah, that's... I think I would. I don't know where that's come from, because in the old days before all this happened, I used to enjoy karaoke and singing Elvis songs. So I can sing smoothly, if I need smoothly and softly, depending on what type of song it is I'm singing. But somehow it's moved to what comes out the other end is the gravelly voice at times.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Yeah. Something along those lines. Someone mentioned Neil Diamond, but I'm not personally a Neil Diamond fan myself, so it's not like I've modelled myself on anybody. It just kind of felt right for the songs I was singing. But I'd be lying if I told you, Joe, I know where it comes from, because it wasn't the voice I had when I was younger.
So you've stolen it.
I've stolen it from someone. I'm not naming who he is.
Probably best not.
But
he might be listening, you never know.
That's right, yeah, I'll get sued. But no, it's it just seems to have arrived at the little bit of gravel. I'm just happier singing that way, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fantastic sound. I love it.
That's very kind of you, Joe.
That's okay. Thank you. I'm going to let you sing your third song now.
Oh yes, this one is called Weathered Gloves, and the background to this one is I wanted to do a song that was a bit more rocky, less sedate, because I sometimes get told that some of my songs most of my songs are slow, so I wanted to really gear it up a little bit more with electric guitar. And it's probably would be best described as bluesy rock. And again, this is about really an older couple and the fact that they've taken the highs and taken the lows. They've been knocked down along the way. But you know what? They've been there for each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to hear that now.
Thanks.
Paul, that was incredible. Totally different sound, I find.
Yeah. It was a bit different for me, wasn't it? I'd like to do a bit more like that, to be honest. There are two or three songs similar in vein to that I've not posted or released yet, so I'll get around to that. But I enjoyed doing that one, Joe, because it was a little bit different, more upbeat, less safe.
Now, I'm not being rude when I say this. It might come across,
right.
But I don't mean it to be rude. But
okay.
I find a couple of your songs quite melancholy. Quite sad.
Yeah. I've had that accusation. I've had that accusation close to home, and I've had it from one or two other people. Well, yeah, they are. Why is that? I don't know. I'm never going to be the guy who's going to sit down and sing and record a Eurovision number, which is... you know, it's all jolly, and so that's not going to be me. It's just, and to be honest, I mean, John Mellencamp, who's a professional singer-songwriter, has made a fortune out of melancholy songs for 20-odd years. Springsteen's done it to an extent in terms of some of the solo work he's done.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. He seems to gravitate towards it, but I do try and balance it out from time to time with some upbeat stuff, but you're right, that it tends to default to that.
Paul, you have been absolutely incredible to talk to. Your songs are out of this world, and I would like to thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thanks for inviting me onto the show.
I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed talking to you, and thanks for your feedback, and keep on doing what you're doing.